Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I am Alex, and this week I'm joined by Gavin Murphy.
Oh,
Wales' biggest export. I mean that in a
I'm trying to lose weight, man.
I didn't mean it like that.
That's fine.
Best export. How about
that? That's better. Thank you. But that's cool. Do you want to know the top three exports?
No, no, I do. I really do. Yeah.
I think.
Well, you can't think. It's supposed to be.
It would be rugby.
Is that born in Wales?
Yeah, in my head. Gareth Bale.
Absolutely, Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale. And Richard Burton.
Good.
I think
one.
Those are the three things.
Not Tom Jones?
No. Richard Burton is better than Tom Jones. But Tom Jones is great. Give him his dues.
What about Welsh rabbit?
It's awesome. I had some amazing
not
Welsh
top
rabbit.
Three,
though.
What about Welsh cakes? No, I enjoyed
Welsh cakes, good. Not the best export, though. It's not better than rugby, Gareth Bale. Or Richard Burton. Welsh rabbit is very good, though. I think it's one of the best breakfast things you can have.
I see they're famous for big, strong men.
But it's a lot. There's a lot more to it. There's good mustard mix.
Don't like mustard.
Don't you?
No.
Alex, come on.
I really don't like mustard.
Who's the other guy sitting opposite me?
It's me, Simon, again. Let anyone on this podcast
know. Names.
Simon Cardi.
Have you got a middle name?
I do.
What is it?
Michael.
Nice,
Simon
very dull.
Michael
Cardi. It's good, yeah.
Yeah, SMC kind of sounds like a supercar.
It's a reliable name, I would say.
I'm just happy to be in this room, kind of just away from the Cuphead madness that's going on.
Poor old Joe.
Around us.
Agreeing to review Cuphead on a really strict deadline.
If you don't know what Cuphead is, it's one of the hardest games to come out in the last couple of years, apparently.
Yeah.
And Joe is reviewing it on a very strict deadline. So.
Well, he missed the embargo.
Yeah.
What an amateur.
I've been on best behavior, having to sit next to him, not making snarky comments every time he dies.
That's the thing. Joe is a very passionate person when it comes to video games. We played this game last week together. Five of us went to this Goose Island street party thing, which was a day where we got to drink free beer. A lot of free beer all day. It was awesome. It was really good, actually.
It was really good.
It was the second time I've been. But we can fill a lot of chat between us.
Yeah.
But after 6 pints of this IPA that you would love called Midway, but we'll get you some of that.
Is it by Goose Island?
By Goose Island,
I'm making note of it right now.
It's one of their new things, and it's fucking amazing.
Ooh.
And we all said, multiple people have said, I would love this.
Why?
It's a nice, it's not too heavy. Because, Goose is actually quite a heavy beer.
Yep.
Whereas this is a really, really light beer. I think it's Session as well. I think it's 4.1.
Oh, nice. So you're basically saying I'm a lightweight.
No, but I'm saying you're a lover of a Session IPA, as am I. Because I really like Goose, but it's a hangover beer.
Yeah.
You have one, it's a little settler,
yeah.
And then you go on to something else maybe.
It was my favourite beer for a long time.
Yeah, so it's Krupa's as well.
Yeah.
So you're saying drinking it for 9 hours straight isn't a good idea?
No. You can drink Midway for 9 hours straight, is what I'm saying.
Well, we did.
But, so what happened was, then we sort of, we can fill conversation between us for a couple of hours, we're good friends. But then after a while, we were like, let's play a game. So I had this game called Triple Agent on my phone, which is amazing. So it's basically like Avalon Resistance, but
it's on your phone.
And Joe gets really passionate playing games, to the point where I kind of feel sorry because I think other people take it in the wrong way. I've known Joe for years, so I know that Games Joe is a very different person from real life Joe.
Yeah.
And I think he gets a bit of a bad rap that people think that he's actually getting angry, when he's actually not getting angry.
Well, he texted me last night to apologize for being a bit short in the office. I was like, I didn't give it a second thought.
People think that he's actually angrier than he is, but I think he just cares. He cares a lot.
I think he's quite angry right now.
Yeah.
After playing that game for almost 24 hours solid and still hasn't finished.
Nothing wrong with a bit of passion in the workplace, is there?
But we were playing Triple Agent at this Goose Island street party, and there was loads of people around us being like, What is going on?
Just shouting at each other.
At one point, we had this like 11% like barley wine beer that they do as well.
You've gone from it was like session gravy. Ale
yeah.
to 11%. Why not?
Someone mixed Bisto with, I don't know, a cranberry coolie. It was, I don't know why those two things popped in my head.
I have little flashes of the night, but one of them is I'm not saying we're like ugly men, but five like under average looking men.
I'll take it.
Dancing on a podium together to Call Me Al and going, Al would love this.
Oh my God. That is the very definition of the booze speaking, isn't it?
Like it was only about 9 PM as well.
We were screaming one more song, and they wouldn't, and they finished. We were like, oh, they'll do another song, don't worry. We were there and then on the podium, and then they stopped and we're like, this is go over.
So it finished at 9.
Well, it finished like 9:30, 10. Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen Krupa dance.
Yeah, he's not a dancer, really.
But yet, to Paul Simon.
It came out.
I've been to a couple of awards with him. Like when we went to the, what was it? What's the good awards that MCB do?
Oh, the MCB awards.
Yeah, the MCB awards. The ones not for editorial journalists, but we managed to scum onto anyway.
Yeah.
I went to an MCB awards with Krupa, and I danced so much that night. And then the next day I was like, oh man, can't believe you danced. He was like, I didn't dance at all. Like, he was like, you were dancing loads.
He doing? Just standing next to you?
I guess so. I bet there's other people who doesn't like dancing and they just sort of group off together and chat.
I have to be quite drunk to dance.
Yeah. Oh, I don't. I'll get it going.
That's good. I like that though.
I can wiggle.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Christmas party.
I feel super self-conscious if I'm not hammered. Yeah. But if I'm hammered, I'm going for it.
Yeah. I like
even it. If it's just a little casual finger wag.
Just I'm a dice man. I like the dice.
What's that you do?
Dice. Throwing the dice.
Okay.
You know the dice man?
Not at the moment. No.
Anyway.
All right, what we got?
This week's biggest news is probably that Rockstar finally revealed a bit more about Red Dead. I didn't realise it's almost a year since that last trailer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It came out in mid-October last year.
Holy shit.
Same time, same day, all the Switch details came out because I was on holiday.
Rockstar don't give a shit, do they?
Nope. Now, I didn't replay Red Dead 1 because it came out at pretty much the same time my daughter was born.
Right.
Mm.
So two amazing
things. Oh, you didn't play?
No.
Oh, shit. Wow.
So that's why I'm like, GTA is probably one of my favorite franchises of all time.
Yeah.
And I know that Krupa feels the same about Red Dead. But me, I'm like, I don't know. I don't really
Red Dead is my favorite game of all time. So.
I think Red Dead is better than GTA.
I would say.
I wouldn't know.
Because the reason I like Red Dead more than GTA is like, I do like GTA's like stupid sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like where it's like, you know, trying to be over the top like satire.
Yeah.
Whereas Red Dead doesn't do any of that.
Yeah.
Like it's just a straight up like John Hillcoat style story.
Yeah.
Which I really, really like. There are some shit bits about
No helicopters in Red Dead.
No helicopters in Red Dead.
But
any
lots
game
of horses.
Is automatically better. Well it's not flying though.
And you could pick flowers. I remember being so hungover, but like loving Red Dead so much that I was just walking around picking flowers.
I remember just sitting there playing poker.
Yeah.
You can spend literally half a day playing poker in Red Dead against people that don't exist. But that's how I spend most of my time.
But you can do that on a number of gambling websites.
Yeah, but I don't feel like my life's going down the drain as much if I do it.
It looks nicer.
Well, I would say it's probably not far off if that's all you're doing with your weekends.
Not anymore. I've grown up.
What did you do last weekend?
What did I do last weekend? Well, we went to Goose Island.
Dance on a podium with us.
Yeah. And then recovered.
My favourite shot in the new Red Dead trailer is that shot where there's three of them like walking through some bog like towards a house.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, it's actually really creepy. I was like, I hope there's some like weird horror elements in it. Because like Grand Theft Auto has those like weird space alien shit in it now and again that happens. Mm. So I think like they could do that. Some like really horrible like backyard horror
it
stuff.
It looks like they're taking the bank robbery element from GTA 5 and hopefully
the train.
There's like if you're building up to big heists like that, that'd be really cool.
Oh my God.
That'd be well, like
that,
planning out a train robbery and stuff like that would be
that'd
awesome.
Be so good.
Cowboys, they're good, aren't they?
It's your favorite game of all time.
It's a hard thing to just pinpoint, top of my head, I would say.
So, what were your kind of first impressions of this trailer?
This trailer, I thought, It was nice, and we got a look at the new protagonist.
It was nice.
It was just nice to see something, wasn't it?
Just nice to get out of the house.
There you go. That's the definitive word from IGN.
It was nice.
I am a little bit sad that you're not John Marston again. I would have loved to have been that just because I love that character. But no, I'm sure the new one will grow on me if he is indeed who you play as. We don't know that.
Maybe that guy becomes John Marston. We don't know.
Oh, does that what? Like face off style?
Change his name or something. Like that.
It's quite easy.
Doesn't look like him though, does he?
Yeah.
A lot can happen in the time between two games.
Yeah.
Whatever time period that is. I don't
know. But yeah, I'm really excited, and we still don't know definitely when it's coming, but looks like it's not too far away.
It's next year, no?
Spring. So they're still loose with that. But
like, you know, bearing in mind that's what, let's say 6 months away.
Yeah.
We've seen nothing on that game really.
No.
And in its life cycle, so going back to GTA. So this would probably have been the reveal where they showed off that you could play as Trevor, Franklin, and Michael.
Yeah. Right.
But at which point, I'd already been to New York to see the game.
Had you?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Because we had the exclusive one. It was very nice.
Yeah.
But we've seen nothing or heard nothing and don't know when we're going to see something. So
I love that.
I absolutely love that. But they're probably the only company that can get away with that.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
Because, like, no matter what. People are going to go and buy that game in their millions.
We were talking about it in... We went for lunch with Lucy O'Brien from the Australia office yesterday, and we were talking about Bethesda's new policy on review code, where they're only sending it out on the day of release.
Yeah.
And we were like, even Rockstar don't do that. Like you do get the game to review properly, but a lot... Well, you'll get like one code for it, but then everyone else gets it on the day of release. We're like, yeah, but that's Rockstar though. They can get away with it because they're never going to release a game that's broken or anything.
No,
like
exactly.
That they don't know is broken.
I guess the only slight thing with that is the online component, because obviously when GTA came out, the online component followed by a couple of weeks or so.
It was a while after, and it was really
and
broken.
Pretty
for a bit,
busted at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it depends what they're going to do with the online component for this. Obviously, they haven't said there is going to be one, but.
Well, if it's similar to GTA, that would be amazing if we could gang up as a gang of six or seven and take down trains online together. That would just be something I would do endlessly.
I do feel like when they did launch that, it did fuck it for a bit because it took me ages. Like, I took the day off for GTA Online the first day because I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Because I took a week off for GTA 5 and then took a week off to do GTA Online, a day off for GTA Online. I was like, this is going to be sweet. I'm going to play it all day.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, this is fucking balls.
Yeah, it definitely.
And it took me ages to go back with it because I was just like,
it took a long time to get. Yeah. Like, to be honest, it wasn't until we started playing it as a group of four around the heists that I really kind of got into
Apparently, it's awesome.
It is really awesome.
I would love to play it, but I feel, I don't know, is it ever too late to go in? But I feel like the time's passed for me to properly play GTA Online properly.
Yeah. Like, honestly, we played it in the office before Overwatch came out. Loads. Mm. And did the heists. You know, like, when you're playing together like that, it's super enjoyable.
Yeah, I imagine.
And all the little game modes are fun as well.
When we did that heist, on that Friday afternoon when we all went into the studio and played on those things, like all in the dark, drinking probably Goose Island, I don't know, drinking booze and doing that. Like, that's one of my favorite video game, like,
it was really
like
good.
Moments. It was so good.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Sounded like I was getting choked up there. Yeah.
It was very emotional. Yeah.
It's just a shame when it came out, I had no friends, so couldn't play it with anyone. I
remember, probably don't get back into it then.
Well,
there was an amazing bit in the heist bit where, like, we'd all done it. It was all perfect. We're all like, you look at the screens, it was just beautiful. Moment where like four of us are just like parachuting down to the beach and we're like, oh, this is so good. Like, none of us had died for ages, which was big. Like, we're all parachuting down, like, this is good. And then we're just chatting and stuff. And it's like, Gav, pull your parachute. Gav, you're gonna die. It's just like, I wasn't even looking. I was like, oh my god, you forgot you had to actually land yourself.
It's one of those things, like, playing with powers is one of the most fucking annoying things in the world. Because he just blows his car up. There was
gung-ho.
Like, when we went to, when they showed off heists, Creeper, myself, and Rory went to Rockstar to go and play it.
Yeah.
You went there, were you?
No.
And like, bearing in mind, we were with Rockstar and we were showing off how, like, we were talking about, like, we always play together, we love GTA Online. Fuck me, it was embarrassing because, like, first waypoint, like, go here because that's where you've got to get the, I think they were armored trucks.
Yeah.
He sort of jumps off this massive cliff, crashes the car, which catches on fire, and we're in the middle of nowhere. So we're all there on, like, you know, motorbikes and supercars, and you just hear this, like, as he's hammering the button to try and run towards us. And you look at the map, it's like, you've still got about 4 miles to get. It's like, fuck me. Yeah. And you could see Rockstar just losing their mind.
I remember when we had to, just like an amazing story, when we had, I think I've told it on this podcast, but I don't care. We were just trying to take a photo of the four of us for the thumbnail.
It was for the podcast.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah. And so it was just, all we needed was all four of our characters.
Yeah.
Like, we were like, oh, we'll go down to like Santa Monica. Like, we'll all take a photo. We'll do a selfie down there.
Simple.
Like, fine. So, like, three of us get there. Fine. So me, Alan Krupper, just there waiting. Fine. Just like, Powers, where are you? I'm coming now. I was like, where are you? And then just look in the distance. You just see this car just get launched in the air on the top of this mountain. He's just like, yeah, I'm that car there. It's like, he just turns up on like a motorbike in his pants.
Well, that's it. Yeah. He's just wearing pants. As well.
And it just immediately starts fucking up everyone around him. And he's like, Powers, what are you doing? He's like, what? What are we hitting? He's like, we just have to take a photo. It and
probably
that's
took
it.
About an hour.
Oh, it took so long.
He can't be tamed.
Yeah.
Someone needs to get a hold of him.
There we are.
Anyway, I'm definitely going to put time into that when it comes out.
Absolutely.
Next spring. Also this week, Star Trek, or two episodes of Star Trek Discovery came out.
Yeah.
Now, I want to know what you think before I say.
Yeah, I saw you put this on there, but we haven't actually spoken about it.
No.
I like it, but I don't know why. Like, I was kind of disappointed with it as I was watching it. I think the main character, the second in command to Michelle Yeoh, I can't remember what her name is. Her name's like Sonequa something.
I don't know her real name.
She's from Walking
Isn't
Dead.
Isn't she called like Michael or something like that?
She's called Commander Michael,
that's it. Right. I thought her first name was Michael. A weird name.
I think she's amazing.
Yeah, she's good in it.
She's so good in it.
Yeah.
And apparently the first two episodes are kind of like a prequel-y thing.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know this.
No.
Because I tweeted about it and it was like, it's called Star Trek Discovery and it's set before the time of the Enterprise, right?
Yep.
So it's a prequel to which one? Because I haven't really paid zero attention to it.
It's before... I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not a big Star Trek person, so I don't.
Well, the Klingons have been quiet or dormant or whatever for 100 years.
But that's the thing. Like, it's called Star Trek Discovery. So my thing like with the Star Trek films is I thought it was going to be them going out and doing adventures and things like that. Like, if you watch Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that's one of the best Star Trek films that has been for ages, because they just go on a little adventure.
Yeah.
And I thought this was what Discovery was going to be. In the first two episodes, it's like, what have we discovered? The fucking Klingons. Mate, I could have told you about the Klingons. You don't need to discover them. And I think the Klingons look shite
I thought they looked absolutely...
Oh, my God. It looks so bad.
I thought like a Doctor Who
kind of
alien rather than
But then there's
so
much other stuff that looks amazing. Like, I think the spacesuits that that they've got are amazing. The Federation have got are incredible. But apparently, so we're going to flash forward after the first two episodes?
Oh, it doesn't cue that up.
No,
well, if
it
does, then I certainly missed it.
Because I tweeted about that and people were like, oh, so it's just a prequel? I was like, I don't know that. And I was like, if someone who works for IGN and is a Star Trek fan isn't aware of that, then maybe that hasn't been communicated properly. But should it have been anyway? Like, you shouldn't have to rely on information that you know outside of the series to enjoy something.
So is it quite a family-friendly Star Trek, or is it more, is it a bit harder, like the newer films have been a bit more...
gritty. It's not gritty, but
like,
there's a war, there are battles and stuff going on.
Like people being stabbed and shot and stuff like that.
Okay, so it's not, not we're just all going for a fun adventure.
I like what happens to her in the first two episodes. Yeah. Like, we won't talk about spoilers because you should definitely watch it. I like what happens to her, so I think that's going to play into a big part in the second season, because Jason Isaacs hasn't even been in it yet, unless he was a Klingon, which I don't think he is.
I don't know.
Yeah, Krupp asked me that. He was like, what's Jason Isaacs like in there? I was like, that's a really good point. I don't think he's in it unless he plays a Klingon, and then he might be good.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't know, would you?
I did actually, the thing that I did like, even though I didn't like the fact that they're battling Klingons, I did like, you kind of don't know whose side you're on.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing the Klingons not just as these like bonkers people like who love war.
Yeah.
But you're actually seeing like the relationship between the two Klingons, like the ones who spend the most time with, it's amazing. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah.
But they do look shite. Yeah. Like, how do they manage to make them look worse than old Star Trek stuff?
Which was like 25 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, it's because it wasn't in HD. You couldn't see all the imperfections.
Yeah, but I bet if you watch like Next Generation now, it probably looks like shite.
I couldn't tell you that for sure. But
what did you think of it?
So I felt the same. Like, I wanted to really love it, but I came away thinking, two episodes in, I'm quite lukewarm.
Yeah.
I'm not really that bothered to see what happens next. And of course I will.
Yeah.
Like, if they'd have chucked them all out at the same time, I would have been quite happy with that, because I'd just binge watch it. The fact that I've got to wait every single week for an episode is like,
I think that's going to help me.
It's quite short, isn't it?
I think that's going to help me
stick
with it.
Each episode's only just over half hour.
It's like 40 minutes, yeah. I think that's going to help me stick with it. Like, if it was all there, maybe it would feel a little bit more daunting and I wouldn't be up for, like, sitting through it. Yeah. Whereas the fact I got Omega part of my week, because I'll be honest as well, when I was watching it, I was doing bits. Like, I was cooking, and I was doing washing and things like that. And I think that's fine. Yeah, usually with some shows, I would say that you can't do that.
Narcos, you definitely can't do that.
Yeah, I definitely can't do that. I'm gonna I'm gonna watch season two this weekend, I think, because I still haven't watched season three.
You not watched?
I haven't watched season two or season three.
Oh, I haven't seen season one.
God's sake! It's because
It's because I watched season one with a girl, and then we broke up. And we broke up the weekend before season two came out.
Right.
So it was always really, I was like really sad to go back to it.
Oh, bless.
But now I've totally over that. So.
Did she look like Pablo Escobar or something?
Yeah, she looks exactly like it. That was a problem, Al. We look too alike.
Exactly. I can't watch that program. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway. I interviewed Pedro Pascal the other day for the Kingsman stuff.
Oh, yes.
And that really gave me a kick up the ass to go for it. He was amazing as well.
Was he?
Yeah, he's so good. Well, they were all amazing. They were all hilarious. But yeah, good. What's next?
Birmingham.
Oh, yeah.
You went to Birmingham.
I did. It's because, basically, you, in a meeting the other day, were just like, you've all got way too much holiday left.
What?
Because none of us take holiday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're like, you've all got way too much holiday.
So you went to Birmingham.
I went to Birmingham.
Why not?
A couple of days in Birmingham myself. No, there was EGX there, which is like a consumer show for video games. It used to be in London, and I used to go quite a lot. And then when they moved to Birmingham, I was like, I'm not fucking going there.
I'm not getting on the train.
It actually, like, everyone keeps saying how easy it is to get there. It is easy to get there, but you are still going to Birmingham.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, yes, it's easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's an hour and a bit away. But still,
and
it's
also
not
like
a tube drive journey away.
It's at the NEC.
It's at the NEC, which is fucking massive.
It's too big.
Like, and EGX is only in a small part of it. So even the halls, they feel, this is a good thing and a bad thing, they feel quite sparse, which means you don't feel like Gamescom where you're like crushed in or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it is generally, like, it was quite good. There was a lot of like big games in there. But
I saw some people complaining about queues.
Oh, man.
But I don't know what you can do.
How's
it
compared to Gamescom busyness-wise?
It's super busy.
Is it?
But, well, so I took a friend who's just, because she's obsessed with Assassin's Creed and she happened to have that day off anyway.
Right.
Basically, I went up because there was a party on the Thursday night.
You'll go anywhere in the UK if there's a party with free booze on.
I went up because of that, but then I thought, well, my friend's got a day off. I know she loves Assassin's Creed, so, I don't want
to. So I'll take her to Egypt.
I'll take her to Egypt. I'm going to
pack her back.
I'm going to take you to EGX. Yeah, you're going to love it. So it's like, because we know a bunch of the Ubisoft people, and I saw them at the party the night before. They were like, oh yeah, just bring her by. Because I would generally have queued.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, because those people, everyone's got a queue.
Yeah. Would you?
Well, I would have until I turned up at the Assassin's Creed stall. And this was
Is it a stall? It's not even a stand.
It's not a stall. It's fucking massive. It's huge. There's 40 pods there. Exactly. Stall.
Coconut shy.
Bayek's there. Like, this is a guy dressed up as him. No, it's big. There's 40 pods there. And you get 20 minutes on the game.
Okay.
We turned up maybe about 10:30 in the morning. And there was a queue of, it said, from here, 3 hours.
What? What is the point?
And I just think,
how long did you get to play it for?
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is,
that's decent.
I remember
that's a good ratio.
I remember going to EGX when I didn't work in the industry and queuing up for an hour and a half to play 10 minutes of Skyrim.
Wow. You can't do a lot in Skyrim.
You can't do fuck all. I can remember like playing it and the guy came over and he was all right, your time's up. I was like, you fucking kidding me? I was like, I'm not queuing up for anything else. So we're done now. But yeah, like, I wouldn't, like, if we got there.
Yeah.
I would have had to do it because I told her I would take her to EGX to play Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
But 3 hours.
What else do you do,
hours, though? That's well, like, a lot of it is, I think, meeting up with friends. I think people are just hanging out there.
It's probably tons of merch you can get.
There's lots of, like, merch stuff, which is really, really good. Like, Insert Coin Clothing, they've got, like, a big shop there, and they do, like, giveaways and that. There's stages, so I watched, like, a bunch of the Street Fighter stuff, like, really high-level Street Fighter competitions there. Watched a bit of Overwatch. There was some competitive Overwatch there. That was really good.
Not as good as us every single lunchtime, but
they are, like, some of the people were amazing. Some of the people were so bad. I was like,
really?
Why have you come here? Like, Why have you got on this stage?
A free-for-all or...?
No, because I think some people are on different levels and things like that. I'm not sure what I was actually watching. I think there was a big competition there, but then there was obviously like other people playing stuff as well. I was like, there's no way those people are pro, because that's mental. They are. People just getting destroyed. But that's quite good. But like, yeah, I played two games that I generally really, really liked.
Yeah.
One I was queuing up for, but I say queue, there was like three people before me.
Okay.
And it's a game called Perfect Date.
Okay.
Now, this is like a dating sim. And like this, like dating sims are quite big, like sort of visual novel type thing. Like basically you just click, a button. Like there's one called like Hatful Boyfriend, which is like a pigeon dating simulator and stuff like that. Yeah. And I can never really buy into that because I was like, I didn't really find the comedy that good. But Perfect Date is made by a guy who works for Bossa Studios, so the guys who did like Surgeon Simulator and things like that. Okay. This guy called Oliver and his girlfriend, and their studio is called like Team Bay Studios or something like that, which is an awful fucking name. Like,
sort out.
But the game is awesome. Like, it's really good. So basically, you're a human and you're dating a cat. You're dating different cats, which sounds like it would be really twee and shite. But
it sounds weird.
It's really funny. And they're like, the art is really, really good. I went on a date with a cat called McMurphy.
I see we've got the same name.
I didn't pick it. My friend picked it. And the cat gets you pissed.
Knows you very well.
Yeah, so you both get really, really pissed. And like,
a cat called McMurphy getting you pissed. Who would have thought it?
You sure you played a game?
Birmingham was weird. Yeah. But yeah, we had a really good time playing it. Like, it's one of the only times when you come away, it's good when you come away from playing a game at a preview or something like that, and you're like, fucking me, I cannot wait to play more of that. Yeah, which is really good.
Yeah. So, what can you play on? Do we know? What is it?
It's not out yet. Okay. But I think it's only going to be PC. But I guess like if it does well, they'll probably port it.
Yeah.
But it's it was really good. Like I spoke to one of the guys from Boss Studios the night before, and I was like, they've been working on this mad, I can't remember what it's called. It's really mad. They're working on a proper game. Okay. like a really big online game. Worlds Adrift, I think it's called.
Can you imagine playing the cat game on Switch on the tube? Someone just looking over your shoulder.
That's the thing. Like, it's perfect.
What's going on? Is it? Like, someone watching you trying to date a cat.
It's basically
going to get on a watch list.
It's basically reading a book, but then you make decisions as well in it. It's like a stripped back Telltale game. It's a Telltale game that works properly. But yeah, they're working on like some game called like World's Drift, which is like this big online game, kind of like Sea of Thieves a little bit, but in space and shit.
Yeah.
And speaking to the guy from Boss Studio, I was like, oh, I'm really excited about your game, man. He was like, yeah, like we've been working hard. I was like, oh, no, Perfect Date.
The other one.
The cat date one. He was like, yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Great.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more than that. But while I was waiting for that, there was just a VR game behind me called The Lost Bear. Now, I don't know anything about this. I just looked at the style. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And I said to the guy, completely honest, I don't think he worked on the game because he could look like he couldn't be fucking arsed.
Right.
And I said to him, like, oh, do you want to have a go? He's like, yeah, sure. Well. So he handed me like a PSVR helmet, sat down. And I was like, this is really fucking good.
Right.
So it's basically like a cute platforming game, kind of like Norwegian style. It kind of looks like Scandinavian autumn, basically. Yep. But the platforming is quite good, and like what's going on seems like a lot of fun. But the way that it's presented to you in VR is you're like at the if you picture like a theater stage, and you're at the front of the stage looking towards the back of the stage, and the back of the stage is a screen, so you can see all of the stage. The screen is where the platform, where the actual game is, but you've got all this space in front of you, in front of the screen, and that's where you are.
Yeah.
So it's like you're sitting down in a chair, but there's loads of stuff coming out. So like there'll be like fireflies in the game that then will fly out down like a little tube and then come out on your stage.
Right.
And you've also got like these weird like dust particles and stuff like that coming in front of your head. And I was like, it's a really good way of making a VR game.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the platforming game that I played, I only played like 10 minutes of it, is there's nothing VR. No reason for that to be VR.
They've
added this element to it where you solve little puzzles. I think as you go on, there's going to be more that you'll be solving.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is really good. And I sat down just like, oh, I'm queuing up. I might as well play something else rather than queue.
So what's it called?
The Lost Bear. And apparently it's out.
Oh.
It's out. Yeah. It's like made by some like tiny studio, I think, up in the north of England somewhere. It's already out. It's like $7.99.
Say on PSVR.
PSVR, I think it's just PSVR.
PSVR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good recommendation.
Mm. Lovely.
I'm into it.
What else is out this week?
FIFA is out this week, and
now
I've been playing.
You're a FIFA lover, aren't you?
Feels like you've been playing FIFA since you started.
Well, you know,
like we give you a controller, but it's like, Yuri, you used to work in sport. Now you play FIFA.
Yeah, exactly. It's all you got him in for.
Piss take.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, I've been playing on all sorts of consoles.
All sorts of them.
Any console.
Anything I can play FIFA on.
Ones you made yourself.
I played it on Switch. It's a different game, I feel. It feels more like almost
hockey?
A reskin. Hockey, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you use a puck. It's ice hockey, actually.
Is that where you fucked up the export of Game on Purpose? Because you were like, it's shite.
I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know. He's putting things on me again. Unbelievable. on Switch, it's a different game. It feels like last year's game, but reskinned. It doesn't feel quite right. I don't know if that's due to the actual Switch controller, though, because it doesn't have the feel that you're used to on an Xbox or a PS4.
I guess you're in a good position for this as well, because I was joking, but you have played a fucking lot of FIFA for capture.
I have, yeah. It feels, I don't know, I feel it's all right if you're playing by yourself, but if you have to split the Joy-Cons, it is almost a nightmare to play.
Yeah. I must admit, I've not even played a single game on split Joy-Cons yet.
You know, Joe plays Zelda like that.
That's absolutely mad.
Mental, isn't it?
But just the fact that, if you're playing... So I played against Dale for Capture, and we were using the little half a Joy-Con each.
Yeah.
And you don't have a right stick, so a lot of things you'd normally try and do...
Oh, my God.
The right stick doesn't exist. Manual passing and stuff like that.
Or for just... doing tricks or tight control or pushing the ball in front
of you. So that explains the level of FIFA that I play. No tricks, no manual passing.
And then you only have two triggers, so kind of they've tried to merge buttons into one trigger.
Oh my gosh, there's no finesse or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know how to do a finesse shot. I could probably do some research, but it's just not instinctive and that feels really weird.
Yeah.
But I wonder what it feels like in a pro controller.
I've tried it briefly. It feels better.
Yeah.
But it feels... The way I was putting it, the players feel really heavy, like they're running through mud, but the ball feels really light. Right. I think it's just the switch button when you try and get power in a shot. It doesn't feel satisfying. Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I played a bit of Zelda at the start with the pro controller. I'm not feeling this game at all. Like, I genuinely was like, everyone else is going mad for Zelda. Mm. And that was the first bit that I played of Zelda using the pro controller. I was like, I'm really feeling it. And I was just like... Obviously, it's amazing, so give it a go. And then, when I started playing on the actual Switch, handheld, I was like,
works perfectly.
Oh, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah. It's still FIFA, it's still fun. It's just not, you're not getting the full experience, you're not getting all the modes, you're not getting this season's journey. Which,
I can't believe that's not in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they must have a reason. I don't know what it is.
Weird, isn't
it?
Don't
get storage if it's.
It must
takes
be.
Some space.
It must be purely because. But then again, they've got the whole of Zelda onto one little cartridge.
I feel like maybe they were working on it. Before, or something like that, and also they have different teams working on different ports and shit.
Let's face it, we don't know anything about game development or how it works. Surely it's just copy paste and then that's it. Yeah. It's done.
Well,
right?
We downloaded FIFA and it's already. I think it's a 14 gig file.
Yeah,
just without any of the extra stuff. So you get your career mode, get ultimate team, but you're not getting the journey. You're not getting the new addition to career mode like the 3D transfer negotiations, which are nice. You know, you don't need them.
But I wonder, like the other part of it is like. And they probably know through data how many people actually play the journey.
Yeah.
I mean, I really...
I always see it as a nice to have, but not an essential.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing the journey for the last week. I'm on the last chapter, and I'm really enjoying it. It's silly. It's just like the first
series. So it's way longer than Longshot, the NFL.
Oh, it's much longer. It's 10 to 12. Because you play lots of full games of FIFA.
Right,
not just a little quick time events, you're playing a full game. And that takes up the bulk. And then there's just cheesy cutscenes. And just takes some, it's like a massive soap opera. It's just...
I love her.
Yeah, it's brilliant. If it was a TV program, I wouldn't watch it. But because I'm part of it and I feel like some of my choices matter. I don't think ultimately the story's going to change.
No, of course it's not.
You know, if I want to kick off at Rio Ferdinand in an interview, I can.
Which is quite funny.
How does he respond to that?
He kind of doesn't respond. I did one thing.
Classic Rio.
I said one thing like, oh, I think I'm the best in the world. And I'm going to show it. And he just went, okay. And then the scene ended. That's quite funny.
So I think you've answered your question about your decisions making no difference whatsoever.
But, you know, I quite enjoy it. Like a shonky TV, sports, soap opera.
Mm. What you were saying about like, obviously we understand like not very little, if nothing, about game design. Like we said this on Pitch.
Game development, not game design. Okay, two different things.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah, game development and like how things are put together and that. Yeah. Like we put a call up for this on Prepare to Try Bloodborne the other day where we asked if a thing was possible. So if anybody has any inside information about why possibly this wouldn't, you know, the journey wouldn't be on
limitation.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
or is it, I don't know, they made it and coded it for Switch before the journey was even finished.
This is this is a much higher brow request that we made. But our request on Prepare Try was, could we take the code from a boss in Bloodborne and put it in a sex doll as an AI? And then if we did that, would the sex doll behave like the boss, or would it be better?
And that's live on YouTube.
There you go.
Unbelievable. So following on from the journey, I think it takes a lot of its silly cues from, I don't know if many people remember the Sky One TV soap opera Dream Team.
I fucking love Dream Team.
Never seen it.
Oh, it was hilarious. It was kind of late 90s, early
2000s. I do remember it now, but I never saw it.
Oh,
it was like Hollyoaks, but with the football. Football team, Harchester United.
My first year, my Sunday league team played in Harchester United full kit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've got photos of us, like, in it.
So this shocked me. It had 10 seasons. Yeah. I did not know it went on that long. In my head, it was like four.
If you Google, like, Harchester United, like, best deaths, like, that's a really good YouTube video.
Well,
Wasn't Ricky Whittle in it? Ricky Whittle's, like, a big part of
it. It was basically the cast of Hollyoaks in a football kit, wasn't it? So he probably was.
So Ricky Whittle, who's having, like, a huge push in America now, like, he's, like, the lead character in American Gods.
Yeah.
And I think he's in, like, The Leftovers or, like, The 101 or one of those shite.
Someone's decided he could act.
Yeah.
I don't...
But, like, everyone loves him.
Yeah. Like... Unbelievable. But, yeah, the reason I bring up Dream Team is because I've come up with a little game for you to play.
So, mate, I do the games in this podcast.
Yeah, but I've got a good one. So, you know.
Ooh. Well, we'll see. You know. We'll see.
Basically, do you want to work it as a team or do you want to go against each other?
Let's work as a team because you don't get to work as a team in Kiwi Countdown.
No, that's good.
I thought you were going to say in real life.
Basically,
yes, we do got it.
Dream Team just had some crazy plot lines.
No.
No? Not allowed to do that?
No, that's patented.
So what I've done is taken five plot points from Dream Team over its 10-year span.
Yeah.
And basically, it's going to be multiple choice. There's three options. One of these did happen in the series.
Yeah.
Two of them I've made up for hopefully comic effect.
Okay.
What did we get for winning?
You get my appreciation.
Okay. Mm. Is it really two pages?
Is that not enough?
That?
Yeah, but it's not that.
All right, good.
Yeah. We won't be here all day. Okay, good. So number one, here are your options.
Yeah, okay.
The club captain drops the FA Cup on the star striker, breaking his foot. Option two.
I thought it was going to be a bit of story leading up to it and then a what happens next.
No.
So which one of these is false? Which one of these actually
happened? One of these is true?
Okay, right.
At what point did he drop it? Like before the match?
When they're lifting the cup.
Okay.
Right.
Option two. The club captain is shot by a sniper while lifting the FA Cup trophy. Plot point three. Club captain refuses to hand the FA Cup to a teammate, resulting in a mass brawl in the Royal Box at Wembley. Mm. Which one of those happened? So you've got...
I think it's three.
Dropped on the... Well, cup dropped on foot, sniper, or mass brawl.
You said that the death video... Is that show renowned for deaths?
There were quite a few.
Quite a few deaths, yeah.
But
it was absurd.
To be fair, they all could have happened in...
I'm trying to figure out where you would be at Wembley to get a good... angle on the Royal
on
Box.
The top,
maybe that's a hard place to get to.
Yeah, don't know if you cared enough.
I'm gonna have to push for an answer.
I'm going for three.
The mass brawl,
yeah,
it's the sniper. So I've got club captain Rodriguez was having an affair with Linda Block, wife of club chairman Jerry Block, as you do. When Jerry found out about this love triangle, he took the rational decision to have a sniper assassinate his club captain at the FA Cup final. Thankfully, he was only injured because the shot hit his shoulder.
Very good.
So that happened.
Right.
Dream Team's brilliant.
Number two. Yeah, this was apparently... this was our answer to Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
What did we do?
How many of these are there?
Five.
Five?
Okay.
They're good, though.
Go.
Bear with me. Okay. Number two.
We'll tell you.
An abusive fan in the stands is given the chance to play and becomes a Premier League star.
Yep.
Option two. Player spots a long-lost twin brother in the stands during a match. Option three. Player kicks the ball into the crowd, accidentally blinding a child permanently.
Two.
I was going to say
long
one.
Lost brother. Well, you go one, I'll go two.
All right.
You're going one and two.
I'm going two.
It's number one.
See, I would have got two right so far if I'd gone on my own.
You're
damn
good.
It.
Let's go. Jason Porter, unrelenting.
You're doing abuse. So yeah, Jason Porter was given a chance to go up front in a preseason game and he scored the winning goal and was signed. Unbelievable.
Fair play.
Why would you watch this horse shit?
I was like six. It was, I think I came in after football.
You shouldn't be watching that where people are getting shot and things like that.
It was hilarious.
It was on, it was on like 6 o'clock.
It explains a lot about me.
Yeah, it was on Sky One, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why it was on at six. Number three. Goalkeeper in gambling debt uses club transfer funds to bet on black and roulette. He doubles the cash, meaning the club can make a star signing. Option two, the goalkeeper is in a gambling debt, holds the entire team hostage before getting killed by a SWAT team. Option three, goalkeeper's arm is deliberately broken by the reserve goalkeeper via jamming it in a car door so he can instead start the cup final.
Two.
I was going to say two as well.
It is the SWAT team.
Yeah.
That doesn't need explaining. He held the team hostage and then got killed.
Lots of guns in this thing.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? How many guns are there in England?
There's a lot of hostage situations in like 90s TVs. Like the amount of time that the bill.
Do you think this is happening in the Premier League for real? It never makes sense.
It's all based on true stories.
Do you know what? I said there were five. There's only going to be four.
Okay.
Oh, last minute
change.
I'm
a liar.
Yeah. That means I've automatically won.
Yeah.
I am lucky. Number five, former manager suicide bombs the team bus in the stadium car park. Option two, former manager rams the team bus into a river using an industrial digger. Option three, former manager burns down the team stadium, accidentally killing his own son, a groundsman working late in the club's basement unpacking a box of grass fertilizer.
Three.
If you've, like, that's a lot of details to go into for someone to make it
up. Psycho.
So I'll go three, yes.
No, I did make that up. I was on the train and I thought that's a bizarre scenario. It was actually suicide bomber.
I thought it might be two because the fact that you said an industrial digger rather than just the digger, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a little detail.
Little details are fucked
up. So after the manager was given the sack, he didn't react well. So he murdered the club legend, then showed up to the playoff final with the player in the boot of his car, along with some explosives. When he realised... when the body was discovered in the boot, he took his anger out by driving the explosive-riddled car into the team bus, killing everyone on board.
There you go.
There you go. Dream team.
I fucking love
They should
dream
bring
team.
It back, shouldn't they?
What was that quiz called, by the way?
I'm going to call it Simon's... No, it wasn't all a dream team quiz.
Amazing.
On the spot, that as well.
Very good. Very good.
Hey, man.
Yep.
That's a good quiz.
Is it the best one today?
It's not going to be the best
Probably
one today.
Probably not.
Because that honour is reserved for Keyword Countdown. Keyword Countdown. Time for Keyword Countdown. It's Keyword Countdown. Time for Keyword Countdown. It's Keyword Countdown. If you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, IMDb categorized their films via a bunch of crazy keywords. So what I've done, or what Tony Ashwell has done, is taken five films.
You didn't even write? I wrote mine.
Yeah, but it's not good, is it?
Okay, carry on.
You're not getting people sending you those in. You're not getting... You're not getting fans
sending If someone wants to send me in their favourite Dream Team plot points, feel free.
Oh, absolutely, do that. IGN_UKFeedback@IGN.com. So yeah, what Tony Ashwell has done is taken five films, 10 keywords apiece, and a link between all of them, and a really nice email as well. It says, "Hi everyone at IGN UK. My boyfriend and I listen to your podcast every Sunday when we're in the car going to the train station so he can go home.
Aww.
We both find your conversations hysterical, your reviews informative, I can't imagine that's true, and your general attitudes towards life, love, and gaming relatable. That's lovely. One thing we both love about the podcast is the inclusivity, especially when it comes to Keyword Countdown.
I love the fact that it's inclusivity, not laziness on your part.
Yeah.
But yes.
So far, we can't determine who is the best worst of the game, I think, between those two. We're both equally good, terrible, which is annoying as we're both very competitive. Competitiveness in our relationship has thus led me to create my own Keyword Countdown for you to air on the show to not only test your film knowledge, but also my boyfriend's, as he claims he's better than me. He wishes. I hope to hear my contribution on the podcast soon. I'm looking forward to the much anticipated 400th episode.
Well, that was easy. Well done. He's been saving this one for a good time, though.
Tony. Okay, here we go. These are really good as well. Film number one. Coming of Age. Bare-chested male.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Cult film.
Donnie Darko.
Friendship.
Stand By Me.
Yes!
Oh, fuck.
have it. I haven't got my own little fucking film database.
Seven.
Motherfucker.
Seven to Al. The other ones, voiceover narration, flashback, cigarette smoking, death of a friend, train, group of friends. Well done, Al. That was awesome.
I haven't actually seen Stand By Me.
Oh, I probably should.
Have you seen Stand By Me?
No, I haven't, no.
You ain't seen Stand By
Me?
Oh,
I haven't, no.
Mate, you'll love it. It's so good.
Yeah.
Watch that on Any Given Sunday this weekend. Sort it
okay.
out.
Okay, cool.
That was such a non-committal. Totally yeah. not going to do that.
This football. You'll do that. Probably not.
I lent one of my favourite films to Alicia, maybe after a keyword countdown, maybe about 8 months ago. She watched it 2 weekends ago and gave it back to me. She was like, I loved it.
What was it?
Like, Away We Go. It's a really good film. Here we go. Film number 2. Three-word title.
The Sixth Sense.
Voiceover narration. Summer. Could still be Stand By Me, that could be. That's what I like about this.
Fuck, is it all the same film?
Imagine that. You'd be like, yeah, Gav, you're really not putting any effort into this anymore. Childhood friends.
It could really could be Stand By Me.
Flashback. It's Flashback and Stand By Me.
Is it three word title?
Binding breasts.
What?
As far as I recall.
What?
There's no binding breasts in a thing. I guess like putting tape around your boobs.
Oh, okay. Right.
Murder investigation. Coming of age.
Oh my God.
Oh, Boys Don't Cry?
It's close, but it's not that. I thought that all these could be Boys Don't Cry as well.
The Fifth Element?
No. Schwinn Bicycle.
What's what?
Schwinn Bicycle. Is that what how you say? S-C-H-W-I-N-N.
No.
It's what they have in a lot of films.
Yeah.
Okay. This
is loss of final one is Loss of Mother.
This is really painful.
I don't know.
It's a good film. My sister's watched it all the time.
Say them again.
I've forgotten this exists as well. Three-word title.
Well, hang on. We can't go back over it so we can
No. We go. If nobody gets them, you go through them. Three-word title. Voiceover narration. Summer. Childhood friends. Flashback. Binding breasts. Murder investigation.
The Butterfly Effect.
Coming of age. Schwinn Bicycle. Loss of mother.
That's really annoying me.
Now and then.
I've not seen
never
that.
Heard of it.
It's really good.
Good.
Never heard
good
of
one.
It.
Good one.
The lady who directed it had done, she's does a load of TV stuff. She's done like 6 episodes of Mad Men, I think.
Sweet.
But she does like a lot of Homeland. I don't watch Homeland.
No, I don't.
She's into that. But yeah, I can't remember what episodes of Mad Men she's done, but she's done 6. Cool. So there you go. Unlucky guys. But remember, if you don't get them, that makes it more fun for the people at home.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It might be really fun doing for Tony's boyfriend right now. Film number 3. Thunderstorm.
Terminator 2.
First of series.
Oh, Terminator.
Imagine that. Suburb. Dysfunctional family.
Super 8.
I'm going to watch Super 8 this weekend. I haven't watched it for ages. Yeah, I've had it in my mind for this week.
I can't remember if there was a thunderstorm in it, but
I think so.
Toy Story?
Child's Point of View. Watching TV.
Halloween? No. Poltergeist?
Yes. Well done. 5 points of Cardi.
There was a little bit of eyebrow raising there to say, we're on the right track.
Sorry.
I was going to say it next anyway.
Parapsychology. Burial Ground. Television as Portal. Paranormal Investigator.
What got me is I forgot there was Poltergeist sequels, so I was like, first in series.
Yeah, they're all shite as well.
Yeah.
So 7-5, one guess apiece. All to play for. Film number 3. 4. No.
4.
4, yeah.
Yeah.
Summer Job.
Clark's.
Fast Food Restaurant.
Dazed and Confused. Reference at Ridgemont High.
Reference to Metallica.
Wayne's World?
I was going to say.
Cult film.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Falling from Height. Underage Smoking.
Superbad.
Fashion Show. Final keyword. Dead Babysitter.
Oh. Oh my God. I'm having a mare.
Summer job, fast food restaurant, reference to Metallica, animated credits, cult film, Home Alone.
Animated credits? You didn't say that.
I did.
I didn't hear that, no.
No.
Well, I've said it now. have you got it? No, shut up. Animated credits, cult film, Home Alone, Falling from Height, Underage Smoking, Fashion Show, Dead Babysitter.
Don't know.
Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead.
Never seen it.
No, neither have
I. Banger, that is. It's awesome. Here we go. Final film.
Yeah.
Female protagonist.
Scream.
Screaming. That's funny.
Terminator 2.
1960s. Ooh. Based on autobiography. Father-daughter incest.
Sorry, what? Is that Boys Don't Cry?
Birthday.
It?
Suicide by hanging.
Oh, my God.
Shawshank.
Rehabilitation.
Sleeping Beauty.
Girl Interrupted?
Yeah. Oh. Well done.
I've never seen that either.
That's a good film.
It is really good. There you go. The other one, Schizophrenia, Mental Institution. There you go. Girl Interrupted. Cool.
That was, I feel like...
That's a hard round, man.
That was a hard one.
That's really hard.
Well done.
Round.
That was good.
I haven't seen three of those five films.
Really?
I've only seen two.
And Poltergeist. It's hard. I remember the last it's hard. One I saw that.
So at the end of that, oh, it's really close. So I'll second place.
Yeah, but it was a seven, so I think
with
that
a seven.
Probably wins. A single seven. Yeah.
It was a good seven.
It's probably
seven.
Worth double points, so 14
probably.
To me.
But one guess. Cardi with 8 points and two guesses.
That's a low score. That's a tight
but
one.
But Al, you could get the point.
Oh, they're not all female directors, are they?
Nope.
Well, brilliant. Considering I've only seen two of them, I don't know the connection. I don't know.
It's really good. And they put a lot of detail into it as well.
Is it a complex kind of thing that... Right. They're all films.
There's if you, the first one, Stand By Me, there's something in that.
Train Tracks.
They all have dead bodies? They will discover dead bodies?
No. Bees.
There's something about Stand By Me that is quite famous.
They all have train tracks.
I'm not going to give it. So they all starred child actors, actresses who died young. So River Phoenix played Chris Chambers, died from an overdose of cocaine and morphine in 1993, age 23.
Okay.
Heather O'Rourke in Poltergeist, died from cardiac arrest, brought on by congenital intestinal stenosis in 1988, age 12. That sucks.
You've got the full...
Don't tell mom, babysitter dead. Christopher Petit died from a drug overdose in 2000, age 24. Girl Interrupted, Brittany Murphy, died from pneumonia and a cardiac arrest 2009, age 32. And Ashley Ashton Moore died from accidental heroin overdose in 2007, age 26.
Well, that was jolly.
Right.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tony. I loved all that. Very hard. So let us know who won, if your boyfriend done better than us.
Probably did better than
probably,
us.
Probably.
IGN _ UK feedback at IGN.com.
Hopefully they've watched all those films together, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
So he's got better chance than both of us.
Let's get some feedback.
Anyway, feedback. I'm assuming that you spoke about a music list on last week's podcast.
No, it was on the live one, wasn't it?
Was it?
Because someone asked what our favourite music was and then piped up and said, I have another list.
I don't have to read them out, but I thought this was quite a good name.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Now that's what Cy calls music.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
I think that's good.
Going forward, it's a very good placeholder, I'll put
people
it
have, people have really latched onto this because CyMDB obviously has its own name, but your music list didn't have a name. I think
it's
people,
just top albums,
people are a little bit disappointed by that.
He hasn't put his name. Oh, it has. Yeah, Scott from Manchester. I scrubbed that out so I can read
it. Looks sort of redacted.
There we go.
I thought that was a good one.
That
this
is
one,
good.
Not so good.
Oh, okay.
Adam Thomas. Now that's what I call Cardi hits.
That's shite.
yeah, that's second place.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. But I appreciate
Cycles music.
I appreciate the effort. Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
You going to call it that?
I will. Do you know, I haven't got my phone on me, but when I get back to my desk, I might pencil it in, yeah.
You better. Pencil what, in?
How do you pencil heavy, very pencil? Heavy pencil.
Okay, right, yeah. You haven't got rubber.
Or do you do italics? That means it's not yet set.
Maybe semi-bold.
Here we go. I got one from Nathan Wallace, who says, hey guys, so me and this girl... sounds lovely. So me and this girl had been on a few dates. Nothing super serious, but things were going well. Last Friday, we had our first in... inverted commas, big date. We went to a fair, but it was pretty awful, and we ended up leaving a lot earlier than we had expected to. In an attempt to prolong the date, I suggested we should go see a movie. There was nothing particular either of us really wanted to see. She isn't a fan of horror, so it was not an option. As I was scrolling through the local cinema lists of films, having almost given up on finding a decent movie, at the very bottom of the list was Dunkirk, and I instantly remembered how highly all of you spoke of it. Well, I just
very, very good.
I thought it was all right. I threw it out to her as a long shot, thinking she probably wouldn't be interested. Turns out she had actually been wanting to see that one. I mean, how many girls actually want to see a World War II movie? I don't know, Nathan.
Historians.
Pretty
yeah, I don't, shit a lot of
thing
them.
To say. Since the movie had already been out for so long, there weren't many other people in the theatre with us, just an old couple in front and a 20-something-year-old couple in the very back. But halfway through the movie, an usher comes in and shines a light on the couple in the back. We turn around and see them both rising up from a laying-down position. This was a nice theatre with the armrest lift up. That's how he categorises a nice theatre.
In Dunkirk?
Yeah.
It's a sexy film.
We can only assume the usher saw them doing, but whatever it was enough for him to feel the need to check back in every 10 minutes, stand at the door and stare at them for several minutes at a time. This is by far one of the most interesting, enjoyable dates I've ever had, and I can't thank IGN UK enough for the unknown role they played in making it happen. Nathan Wallace, North Carolina.
Wow. From.
Like we've said this on, I don't know what someone from North Carolina is getting out of this.
This podcast.
Yeah.
Good film recommendation.
Well, I was going to say, recommendation of Dunkirk.
Who's doing that in Dunkirk?
I reckon it was him doing it. Also, don't take someone on a date to see a film. Just go to the pub, man.
Yeah, you can't speak to someone during a film.
Yeah. Or take them for some nice food.
Any way you can talk.
Yeah.
And yeah, because don't talk through a film.
Especially not Dunkirk.
Well,
no.
I definitely don't
shag through Dunkirk.
No. Well, I'd rather you did that than talk. At least it's quiet.
What?
Depends how...
It's quieter.
Depends how good you are.
Could be. What?
It's just a little glimpse into the Cardi bedroom there. Just utter silence.
Cardi, have you ever been taken by the mood in a cinema?
Absolutely not. No, I appreciate cinema too much.
What a shite.
I don't bother with...
I remember going to see like rubbish films when I was a kid, though. Like, when I was 16, 17. More like 16, okay. 17. Like, yeah. And being like, this is shite. Let's wank each other off.
Well, it's just with your mates.
Me and my mate Daniel.
It's a school trip.
Jesus.
Hey, it doesn't matter. It's in the dark. You don't know who's doing it, do you?
Fake cinema.
Could be anyone.
Next piece of feedback.
This one is from Sam Shelley. Or Shelley Sam. I'm guessing Sam Shelley.
Why?
Just read it out.
The comment. The comma.
Also, the name at the bottom says Sam.
Well, I didn't get that far yet, did I? Sorry, Sam.
You got a lot to learn, boy.
Sorry, Hi. Just wanted to say I had a great time at Podcast 400 last
Sweet.
Week.
Sweet.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
I was talking to Alicia about Dungeons & Dragons for a while and thought it'd be fun to see the UK team playing a couple of sessions together, maybe after a few beers.
Mm-hmm.
Good chance.
Live streaming Dungeons & Dragons.
If you were to do it, what class slash race, do you think you would be? And who would make the best Dungeon Master? All the best, Sam. Who's the best Dungeon Master? I don't know. Who's got a wild imagination?
I think
Joe. You need someone quite strict to keep it together, don't you? I think Krupa would be good at it.
I don't think...
He enjoys lore.
Yeah, but he enjoys reading about lore rather than making up his own lore. I feel like some of the stuff I've seen Joe write is fucking insane, frankly. And I feel like he would be really good.
Yeah.
But I feel like if we were going to do it, like I'd actually generally be up for this.
I've never played
Dungeons & Dragons. No. I'd generally be up for this. But I think if we were going to do it, the best way of doing it is to get in a Dungeon Master who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
it's not an absolute shit show.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone, except for Alicia, has played Dungeons & Dragons. So I feel like we'd have to get someone.
I played Warhammer a lot, but not D&D.
I feel like we'd have to get someone who knew what they were doing and that could like guide us a little bit.
Yeah, whip us into
shape.
I just
think it would be an absolute shambles.
I don't know. Who would you play as, though? I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
We speak like, you know.
Like, based on the cartoon.
Yeah.
Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's lots
that
of different
fucking
creatures.
Talking goat. I'd be that.
Can't you? Can be a dwarf or an elf or.
Yeah, I'd go dwarf.
Can you be a troll? I'd like to be a bit.
I feel like we should all play against type, though, if we were going to do it. Like, I really like the look of that new Jumanji film because they do like a body swap thing where they're playing kind of like opposites.
Yeah.
So you'd be like a really good looking guy.
Ooh. Oh, come on.
Cheap, aren't
it? That is cheap. That is cheap.
Yeah.
I'd generally like to do it. Like,
I think it'd be funny, yeah. Especially after a few
years. We could turn it into like a funny little video, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the thing, like, we play a lot of board games now and again, and we've thought, oh, this would be a really funny video, but it's so hard to make that interesting.
Yeah.
There's very few, like, even board game websites I like, I only watch a few of their videos because like sometimes they get it so wrong and it fucks it up. Yeah. And it's like boring. Like
sometimes, yeah, it's getting the line between funny to yourself and funny for other people. Yeah, just watching it, you're like,
I think that's the thing with like D&D as well. It'd have to be really shit hot. Yeah. For that to be entertaining. And you'd have to really know the people who you were watching to kind of get something out.
It would just be us going, so do I throw the dice now? Or
yeah.
I don't know if anyone's. Maybe we'd have to practice.
I genuinely want to play.
Yeah.
But we need guidance from someone.
If anyone is a professional dungeon master.
If you're a professional dungeon master and also not mental, get in touch with us. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. Do you know, like, I reckon throwing that out, you'd probably find some people that you know as well that are really into Dungeons and Dragons that you'd never even think of. Like Vin Diesel is, I'm sure if Vin Diesel's not emailing in, but he's like a massive Dungeons and Dragons nerd. Yeah, huge. Like I just talked to him about a little bit when I interviewed him at the studio, like when he came in. But yeah, I think on the Nerdist, they got him to play like Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
And obviously he's crazy.
What is he, a Dungeon Master or is he?
I can't remember if they just had him playing or if he was a Dungeon Master. Because they do like a D&D series on
Maybe
Nerdist.
We could do a video ahead of, because they play it a lot in Stranger Things, don't they? Series 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
Do a little thing.
We need to find somebody to do all the work for us, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that person you? IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
Let us know. And until we hear from you, that's it for this week. And we will be back same time next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.